Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomer Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 12th installment on the laws of Shemitah. I just want to wrap up the halacha discussion of Shemitah with some specific circumstances that are very common. Again, if we'd be living in Israel, these would be extremely common. Even in America, we get this to a certain extent. Question number one, person has Shemitah wine. Again, for the simplicity's sake, let's say it's Shemitah wine that's oats are bathed in. That means there's not a deadline on drinking it. Fine. But that also means that one has to treat it in a certain way. As we've discussed earlier in the series, if there are leftovers in the cup, normally what do we do with leftovers? We just wash it out. It goes down the sink. It's no big deal. That's not the case here. One should save the leftovers. That's one thing to keep in mind. What about Havdalah? Why is Havdalah a question? The vast majority of us have a minhag to let the cup of Havdalah overflow. It's considered a sign of blessing for the week to come. One thing. Many of us have the practice of extinguishing the Havdalah candle in the overflowed wine from Havdalah. So let's think about both of those aspects. Firstly, it should be clear by now that the wine that has overflowed by Havdalah, again, what we normally do is just wash it out and it just goes down our sink. That's a problem. So if we wanted to use Shemitah wine for Havdalah, we should take the wine that overflowed or that spilled at the end and kind of pour it back into some container or something or drink it after Havdalah, something like that. As an aside, there is a problem with just reusing wine for another mitzvah item, wine that's already been used. So we can talk in another context about how to do that appropriately. There's an idea of a kos pugum. We discussed that in an earlier series. What about extinguishing the flame in the overflowed wine? That should be a big problem because what you're doing by definition is you're rendering some of that wine on the plate no longer fit for consumption. And that's a big problem by Shemitah. So if someone wanted to use wine for Havdalah, they could let the cup overflow. They just have to kind of save the wine at the end. And they should not extinguish the candle in the overflowed wine. An interesting question is many have the practice that women do not drink from the cup of Havdalah. Some are extremely particular about this. What I think is more common is that if there are men and women present, a man drinks and not the woman. But I just want to say for the record, it's extremely common to have a woman make Havdalah for herself. If a woman is living alone, single mother, things of that sort, it's extremely common to have the Havdalah for herself and drink from the cup of Havdalah. But it's very common when there are other people to drink that women don't drink from the cup of Havdalah. It's brought down in halacha as a common practice. So some say, here it is, Shemitah is supposed to be widely benefited from. And by my using this cup of wine for Havdalah, I'm severely limiting access of who's going to be able to benefit from it. So there are poskim that say there's a problem in using Shemitah wine for Havdalah because inherently you're limiting the consumers of the Shemitah wine. Many poskim say that's not a problem. Bottom line is my plan is that, let's say, a man is going to drink from this cup. So he's going to drink it. What's the problem? And then, by the way, if you remember, we discussed earlier in the series the concept that, according to many, it's a mitzvah to consume of Shemitah. So essentially, I'm getting more mitzvah bang for my buck. It's a Shemitah product, and I'm using it for Havdalah, and that's considered a beautiful thing. So some strongly encourage the use of wine for Havdalah. The main takeaway is how you treat the overflowed wine. That's one topic. Maybe we'll hold here and continue tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.